We're going to open our Bibles this morning to the book of Matthew, chapter 13. But I'm also going to read out of the 1 Samuel today. And I'll try to make this as brief as possible, even though this really is a two-hour message. So I'll have to catch you next time, probably with the rest of it. So you won't want to miss another service for the rest of your life. Because the scripture is a progressive unfolding of God's glory, and I'm sure you wouldn't want to miss that. Amen. You know, I've been talking to people lately about the kingdom, and it's my favorite topic because when you look at the kingdom of God, you see really the heart of God revealed to the earth. The kingdom can be kind of a funny terminology when we say, well, the kingdom. What does that mean? It really means the expression of the Father's heart to the world. Jesus said, I am the kingdom. We say we are the kingdom. Everybody say, we are the kingdom. So when we say that, we're saying, I'm revealing the Father to the earth. The kingdom of God come. Pray it this way, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we often equate that as that earth means us. Let it be revealed in us. But at the very core, the very essence of the kingdom, the very depth of what the kingdom is comes from the heart. We talk a lot about the heart in relationship to how we relate to God. And we know that it doesn't come from a fleshly relationship. It comes from an inward place. For those that are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of the Lord. So we don't relate to God in the flesh. In fact, he even states that he knows no man no longer after the flesh. But he knows us after the intention of our heart. And so that makes it a lot easier for me to walk with God because I realize that I don't have to be performance-oriented. I just have to be relationship, concerned about my relationship with him. See, I can't please God with what I do, but I please God with who I am. It's who I am in my heart that God looks at. And that's why you look at David, and it's a beautiful story about King David, and we all love the story of how God chose him. You know, Samuel was sent to, and it's in, if you want to look it up later, but it's in 1 Samuel chapter 16. Samuel was sent to the house of Jesse to choose a new king over Israel. And the reason a new king was needed was because Saul had lost the anointing. Because Saul chose to bring a sacrifice instead of to bring obedience. And the Lord said, obedience is better than sacrifice. Saul said, I'm going to perform for God, but God didn't want Saul's performance. God wanted Saul's heart. He wanted the obedience, the conformity. When we talk about obedience, it's simply conforming ourselves to God's will with our heart. It's a yieldedness. It's a conformity that comes not from something we do in the natural realm by way of sacrifice, but it's an inward submission to the lordship of Jesus Christ. See, the kingdom of God is the lordship of Christ being established upon the earth through his people. So as we come into a full yieldedness and obedience and submission to his lordship, then that's when we begin to manifest his kingdom. The kingdom of God is not about us receiving something from God. It's about us becoming who he is, revealing his heart to the world. So if you become gift-centered or ministry-centered, you're going to miss the point. It's not about your gifts. It's not about your ministry. It's about your relationship. And so God sent Samuel to Jesse to pick a king from among his sons. And we know the story well, how that Jesse brought his sons in before Samuel. thinking that each one would be the one chosen. But Samuel said, none of these are the ones that God's looking for. And this is what Samuel said in verse 7 of chapter 16. The Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. But man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The Lord looks at the heart. And you go over in 2 Samuel, and it's a beautiful thing to see, you know, as David becomes king and begins to establish his kingdom over Israel. He was called a man after God's own heart. And so surely the Lord chose a man to establish something through. You see, at the foundation of every house, or at the foundation of your life, there's a core value that comes through. And we call it character. When we say a person, you know, you can be called a character, or you can be a man of character. Character is what's revealed through you over the process of time that's been revealed by testing. That's why the scripture, and I could go off into a lot of rabbit trails this morning, so I'll try not to catch too many bunnies. But that's why it says that the testing of your faith is more precious than gold and silver. Because it's the testing of who you are in your inward man that reveals your outward man. Because out of the heart come forth all the issues of life. And in 2 Samuel, the Lord is speaking, and it's beautiful what he's saying to David. He said, when your days are fulfilled, talking to David, and your rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. And he says in verse 13, he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Now he's talking about Solomon, because David wasn't able to finish the house, but David was the seed of the house. And then Solomon, his son, who succeeded him, was one that was able to build the temple. And Solomon was a man that was so empowered and endued with wisdom that was incredible. If you read the book of Proverbs, it freaks you out to realize that someone that many years ago had that much wisdom, right? Incredible. That wisdom didn't come from man, but it came from God. You see, when there's a proper succession that's based upon the heart, the next generation always receives more than the previous. But when the succession comes by the flesh, there's always diminishing return. But when the succession comes by the Spirit, it always brings increase. And so God is saying that, David, what I started with you, because you were a man after my own heart, because of your commitment to be one that would, as David said in Psalms 51, create in me a clean heart, O God. And we know we're taught not to be introspective, but yet at the same time, sometimes that teaching can mislead us, because even though we're not to be introspective and to be walk in condemnation or in self-judgment, we have to walk in a consciousness of our responsibility to keep our heart right with God. Because if your heart is not right with God, your life will not be right with God. If your heart is not right with God, your relationships will not be right. Because everything that you are is based upon the ability to have a pliable heart and let God take out the heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh, a heart that's able to hear the voice of God. How many know that God is speaking pretty loudly upon the earth these days? But the only ones that are hearing that voice are the ones that have a heart to hear. I mean, you could be sitting by a guy and God could be speaking to you, and the guy next to you doesn't hear anything, right? Why is that? Because he doesn't have ears and eyes and a heart to hear the voice of the Lord. But I'm going to guarantee you, when you get your heart in the right spot, the presence of God will be close to you. So it's not my responsibility to get my heart in the right spot. Who taught you that? Do you think it's an automatic thing that you just automatically walk in righteousness and with a pure heart just because you accepted Christ? No, it's not automatic. It's a process that every day is the day of your salvation. Every day you wake up, you should say, Lord, let my heart be right with you today. Let me be in union with your spirit so that I may hear your voice. It's amazing how the more you hear his voice, the more sensitive you are to his voice. He said that my sheep hear my voice and they know me. I'm not a stranger to them. See, God wants to establish with you a shepherd relationship, where that you hear his voice and you know that it's him speaking to you. Wow. Listen to this. And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you, and your throne shall be established forever. So we understand that what God instigated with David is still effect today, because the lineage of David leads to the birth of Christ. Now, are you in the same lineage as Christ? Yes, because of your faith. Your faith has tied you in now to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel, David, Moses, David, on up through the Old Testament lineage, right into the New Testament of Christ. Your faith plugs you right into that lineage. And now the Bible says in the New Testament, you are the household of faith. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the dwelling place of the Lord. This is where God is completing his work upon the earth, is through you, the church. The church is a beautiful model, or we could call it an incubator for the birthing of a kingdom. Because it's in the church, it said God gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, till we all come to the measure of the stature of the fullness which is in Christ Jesus. So the church, with its apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and all of its gift ministries, all of its grace ministry, all of its prophetic ministry, all those things are only given for a season until the kingdom is fully manifested. We won't be doing church the rest of our life or the rest of our existence. We'll be doing the kingdom. So we're preparing for the kingdom now. Now, in that process, that, could I dare say this, that evolutionary process? Now, don't stone me because I say evolution. I don't believe in evolution the way evolutionists believe in it. But I do believe in the evolution of the kingdom. For I do know that what we are today is not what we shall be. For when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We're evolving from a worm to a butterfly, from an old creature to a new creature, from a defeated soul to a victorious, to a downtrodden to a rejoicing. Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He says, he anointed me to preach this to you. You are being set out of your prisons, out of your bondage, into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. And it all bursts out of the heart that's set for him. When are we here today? 30 years after this church started. What can cause a person or a people to sustain themselves for 30 years? Because it's a good idea? Because we got inspired? No, it's because of the depth of the encounter with God that comes to an open heart. Once that revelation becomes the most overpowering thing to your life, then there is no other choices. There is no other course that you can follow. You always know the depths of a person's revelation by the depth of their commitment. The greater the revelation of him, the more strong you are in the fulfillment of your commitment. You don't birth faithfulness because you choose it. You don't wake up one day and say, well, I'm going to be faithful to the Lord for the next 50 years. No, that faithfulness comes from him, from your knowledge of who he is. You don't wake up one day and say, well, all of a sudden, I've been a hater, I'm going to become a lover. No, that lover, that love that's in you for others comes from knowing him. Not because you choose to love. You see, when you choose to love and you choose to be faithful, I mean, that's one thing. You should choose that, right? But that's not how it's fulfilled in you. It's fulfilled in you by your encounter in your heart with God. That's why David was a man after God's own heart, and even Saul, who had lost the anointing, called David in to sing and play the harp. Because Saul didn't know that David was the chosen one to succeed him. And David came and faithfully served Saul and became like a surrogate carrier of the anointing so that Saul could be soothed because of his torment by the voice of David singing. David literally sustained an evil king for many years, because his heart was so right with God, he refused to lift his hand against the Lord's anointed. See, rebellion is never birthed out of the right heart. It's always birthed out of a hard heart. A hard-hearted person is a person that lives with rejection. And because we live with rejection, it's kind of like that commercial. If you feel rejected, then you will go and run at a brick wall and hit your head. Then you will fall down upon the ground. And mad dogs will jump on you and chew you up. That's not quite like the commercial. But it's getting closer. So the heart of David is saying that out of this heart, out of this place, is going to be a kingdom. You know, Proverbs, Solomon wrote, keep thy heart with all diligence, because out of it come forth the issues of life. So I have a responsibility to keep my heart right. I can't come to the Lord and say, Lord, I want you to make my heart right. No, the Lord said, I want you to keep your heart right. Everybody say, Lord, I want my heart to be right. When you have a right heart, then someone can slap you on the cheek and you'll turn the other one. Let's experiment this morning. You would probably all volunteer to come up and slap me on the cheek, right? No, thank you. I'll tell you what I'll do to you. Dare touch me. You know, David said it so beautifully, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. It said also that God dwelleth in two places, in the high and lofty places and in the heart of a broken man. Now, what's all this stuff about being broken about? We're not supposed to be broken. We're strong. Our strength doesn't come, though, except from our weakness. Your victory can only come from your loss. Your life can only come from your death. For he that seeks to save his life will lose it, but he that loses his life will find it. In the economy of the kingdom, it's just the opposite of the economy of man. That's why you have to be careful that in the doctrines or the teaching that you receive about how wonderful Christ is, you don't turn it into a fleshly doctrine where your mind is coming into conformity, but yet you don't have any clue of what it's all about in here. Because you show me a man that has a word and a man that has an experience, I'll take the man with the experience all day. Right? Because if you only have a word, but you have no experience, you have a form of godliness, but you deny the power. You have the outline of what godliness is all about. You have the formula of godliness, but you don't have the experience of godliness. See, you don't have to know any of this. No, you don't have to know one jot or one tittle of this to be a righteous man, to be a holy man, to be a man filled with wisdom. If this was taking away from you entirely, because you do have it, you do have a responsibility to study it, right? But if you didn't have this, say it was taken away, your encounter with God in a pure heart that God can flow into would give you all the wisdom and word that you needed. That's why Paul said that he takes the dumb and unlearned and ignorant men to confound the world. Usually the more scholarly we become, the more research-minded we are, the less anointed we are. I don't know why that is. It seemed like God would take the smart ones to confound the world. But God takes the dumb and unlearned and ignorant men. That doesn't give us a license to be dumb and unlearned and ignorant. How many like to have someone walk in your office and say, I'm licensed to be dumb, unlearned, and ignorant? No kidding. We know. Yeah. But what he's saying is, he's not saying that to go that route to just try to be the dumb and unlearned. He's saying, walk in such a place of dependency upon the anointing that you put no reliance upon the flesh and what you've learned by the flesh. But what you learn by the Spirit, that's what will profit you. Amen? So you can absorb this word into your heart. Then it said, out of your heart or out of your belly will flow rivers of water. It becomes a living expression then of what the written word is. Jesus said that God said that he was the word, and the word was with God. And as to many as received that word, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. So it's that absorption of what God speaks into your heart. See, in 2 Corinthians 3 says that we become living epistles. The word's not being written upon the tablets of stone anymore, but the word's being written upon the heart of man. So we become living epistles to be read and known by all men. Amen. But it comes out of the heart. I'm glad I'm named Heart. Because it keeps reminding me of the importance of a right heart. You know, Jesus said that God granted divorce because of one reason, the hardness of their heart. You see, in every intimate relationship in your life, whether it be marriage or brother and sister, church, wherever it may be, when the heart is open, that relationship will flourish. But when the heart becomes hard or closed, the relationship dies. It breaks down. Until finally the separation becomes so great that we have what we call divorce takes place. See, divorce happens in more than just marriage. It happens in all kinds of relationships. We might not acknowledge it. We might not say that word, but it's actually what's happening. A divorce is taking place. We're being separated from one another because of the hardness of our heart. See, as I brought out last Sunday night, a statement in the school, the whole kingdom of God, is the foundation of it is humility. Everything in the kingdom is built upon the foundation of humility. See, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And so it's in your humility that you create a fertile ground for the word to prosper in you. Amen? Everybody say, I'm creating through humility a fertile ground for the word to prosper in me. When you're facing battles in life, how many are facing some battles in life? Challenges that sometimes maybe are too great that you think you can overcome. How do you get out? How do you overcome it? You overcome it by going as low as you can. Because when you go low, the Lord lifts you high above the powers of the principalities. It's in the humility of submitting your heart before God and before man that God lifts you up into a place of authority. But when you stand in your own flesh and you try to resist the enemy, he'll beat you up. Life will beat you up. But when you come into the place of the Lord, and like Christ did, he said he humbled himself, became obedient. Then God highly exalted him, gave him a name which is above every name. You are called to be triumphant. How many believe that? You're called to be victorious in every aspect of life. But it won't come the way you think it comes. It comes because you're no longer your own. You've been bought with a price. You've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, you do not live, but Christ lives in you. Amen. The Lord's desire is to bless you with every spiritual blessing from heaven. Did you know that? And the only thing that hinders that is the condition of the heart. The covenant that God made with you is so absolute that he said, I've committed all this to you. You didn't even have to bring anything to the table except one thing, a heart to receive it. Hallelujah. A heart to receive it. Say, I receive it, Lord. I receive it, Lord. Wow. Wow. See, God's love and his forgiveness is given unconditionally. It's called the new covenant. But does it mean you're going to be a recipient of this love? You can block it if you let your heart be hard. Why do that? Why block out what God wants to give? It's so simple, yet it's so blooming difficult. Isn't that the way the Lord is so simple in how he deals with us? I love you, he says. And how do we make it so difficult to receive it? I mean, if someone says, I love you, and they give their life for you to prove it, why do we keep resisting him? Why do we keep putting him off? Pushing him away. Right, don't get too close. You know, keep your distance, Lord. I really want you, kind of, you know, but don't want that much. You know, I found that when he really invades my life, it just relieves me so much because then I quit struggling. I mean, just give in, yield, submit. Submit. I know that sounds like a dirty word, but say it. Submission. Submit. When you submit to the Lord, it's like a wife. When you submit to the husband. So we had to bring this in, right? When you submit to the husband, you put a lot of pressure on the old man. What happens when you resist the husband? Versus submission. Now, I know the husband is supposed to love you as Christ loved the church. Right? But you want to make the old man love you more? Have a heart that so submits. Now, I'm not talking about some cowering dog, you know, down on the ground and submit and beat him on the head type of submission. I'm talking about your heart is submissive. Sometimes in the flesh, you have to resist the old man. But your heart should always be submissive to him. When you do that, you're telling God, Lord, now you can deal with him. Guess what? The Lord will deal with your husband a lot more than you can. Because when God gets on his case, it's called the hound of hell. So you want to get that old man in trouble? Just keep a right spirit and a right attitude towards him and a right heart. You say, but Pastor, you don't understand. You don't really know what I'm dealing with. I know you've been using that excuse for a long time that I don't really understand. I do understand. And I sympathize with you. But I know what works. You want to change that pastor of yours? Submit. And when I say submission, I don't mean go around and say, Pastor, what can I do for you next? No, I mean your heart. If you want to change that boss at work that's just being an old grumpy, grunchy, grouchy, profane person, let them see the heart of Christ in you. Watch how God starts dealing with him. I guarantee you, he'll change or you'll have a new boss. The Lord will not allow him to stay in that place if there's someone there that says, keeps their heart right. The boss comes in, blankety, blankety, blank, and you say, I love you, boss. You're so wonderful. You go, ah. So the worst, the least, he'll have a heart attack and he'll be out of your way from ranting and raving at you, getting mad at your heart. When you have a heart that's right, you change your world around you. Everything changes around you when your heart is right. See, it's out of the hard heart that little roots of bitterness sprang up and start defiling. It's out of the yielded heart that blessings begin to flow. See, you'll be walking around when you got a heart like this, you'll be walking around like a blessing fountain. Everywhere you go, you'll just be flowing blessings out of your life. Wow. Back years ago in Amarillo, when we first got saved and surrendered to preach, and I gave up everything. And I never asked Sue's permission. I'd just give it up, you know, and come on. Well, we'll get rid of everything, Lord. We don't have anything left. Okay. And I went from being this businessman driving a brand new Riviera, having a house and living, had eight houses and had a business and a whiskey bottle. I gave up all of that, and I found myself working the night shift at a Levi Strauss factory. And I had the most beautiful Levi's. They were like, what was those? They were like purple. This is back in the 60s. Seven, the purple, they had like these stripes down them and stuff. But I worked so hard, I got down to a 34-inch waist. But because I was a Christian, I was very vocal about my Christianity. The first thing that my boss did was test that. So he put me in a semi-truck with a conveyor belt, and there was like three or four guys out here loading the conveyor belt, but he had me as the only one inside the semi stacking the boxes of Levi's. And it was hot in there. And he ran that semi. He told those guys to work me so hard that I would break. I never broke. I worked till a point thought I was going to die, losing weight, sweating. And the whole time he's out there cursing God. But I was so filled with the Spirit at that time, I was just rejoicing. Hallelujah. Stacking them things up. And the boxes falling everywhere and falling off here and there. And he'd be hollering, you know, you're such a Christian. Let's see how you can work now. you know, and just blaspheming God and mocking God. Because I was witnessing to him. I was talking to him about the Lord. And the more I talked, the madder he got. And I don't ever know what happened to that old boy. But I do know this, that he got to see Christ. Because my heart was right. Now, I'll admit, it hasn't always been that good. But I keep working on it. When your heart is right, you'll change a nation. You'll set the stage for the building of a house. You'll create an inheritance for generations. You'll be the one that God said, this is the one I'm well pleased with. When your heart's right. And I haven't got to my scripture. And I'll just quickly refer to it, then we'll quit. Matthew chapter 13. Jesus speaking to them. I kind of like it when Jesus talks. I usually can pretty much agree with this. Right? And you really can't misinterpret what he says. But I like what Matthew 12 also says. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. You like that? And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. The heart always expresses itself. Can't get around it. If you want to find the fruit in your life, look at what your heart expresses. I have to do quite a bit of repentance. Because when I find myself expressing evil things at times. What do you do with that when it comes, something evil comes out of you? Or wrong response, or bitterness, or anger, or gossip, or strife. What do you do when those things come out of you? You turn from it. You acknowledge it. And then you say, Lord, deal with it. Let this thing be taken out of me by your blood. So there could be a pure expression of who I am, of who you are in me. We'll take out all the things that are clogging up the well. Amen? So it could be a pure flow of water. The water that comes from heaven. Chapter 13 of Matthew. Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. Multitudes were gathered together to him. And the multitude was so great that he got into a boat. And he sat. So he's sitting down in this boat by himself. And all these people are pressing around the shore. He's thinking, give me a break. You know, I got to get out here in a boat or I'm gonna, just so I can talk to the people. I mean, that's bringing a crowd in, isn't it? So he starts telling them parables. And this is one of the most beautiful parables because this is a life lesson right here. He talks about the sower, the parable of the soils. And so we see in verse 4, the wayside soil. Some fell by the wayside. The birds came and devoured it quickly. Verse 5, stony places. There wasn't much earth. So immediately it sprung up, but there was no place for the roots to establish themselves. And so when the sun came up, they were scorched and they withered away. The next one in verse 6 was... 7 was their thorns. And when the thorns sprang up, they choked out the seed. But the last one was called the good ground or the good soil. And it yielded a crop of 100, some 60, some 30. So he said, now, if you have ears to hear, I want you to hear what I'm saying. And the disciples said, Lord, why are you always talking in parables? And he answered and said, because it's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it has not been given. In other words, those that don't have spiritual ears to hear will not hear what I'm saying. But those that do, the mysteries of the kingdom will be opened up to them. How many want the mysteries of the kingdom to be opened up to you? Well, it's about to be. Because it says this, for whoever has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he does have, will be taken away from him. Now that sounds kind of harsh, but you got to look at it in the context of what he's saying. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand, And in them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says this. You ready? Hearing and you will hear and you shall not understand. Seeing, you will see and not perceive. For the heart of the people has grown dull. Now, who said this? Jesus quoting Isaiah. Do you believe Jesus is an authoritative, reliable source of the word? He said the reason why they don't get it is because their hearts are dull, are hard, calloused, confused. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes are closed. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears. Lest they should understand with their heart and turn. That I should heal them. But blessed, he said, are your eyes, for you see. And your ears, for you hear. For surely I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see, did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and they did not hear. Isn't that an awesome statement that in the new covenant, we have the highest privilege of any that have ever lived upon the face of the earth, because we have the privilege of being able to know him in a way that was never known before. Amen. And this is what he says. He explained the parables. We already know the parables. We already know what it means. Verse 19, the parable of the wayside. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes, snatches away, sown in his heart. This is he received seed by the wayside. But he received the seed on stony places. Hears the word, immediately receives it with joy. How many have ever seen that happen with people? They come in and say, man, I'm so excited. I've never heard someone preach like Bill Vanderbush. I'll be here for the rest of my life. This is my church home from now on. I've never seen anything like this worship and that Darren Shaw. And two or three weeks later, you turn to, hey, do you remember the person's name that came that day? And they were so excited that this was going to be their eternal commitment. I don't know if I can remember their name. Have you seen them lately? No, I haven't showed up lately. Oh, okay. People would come all the time and they'd say, Pastor, you're the most wonderful pastor that God ever put on the face of the earth. Everybody said, Amen. And I'm going to be with you forever. I say, what's your name? My name is, okay. 2 weeks later, have you seen the, da, 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 da? No, I haven't seen them. Huh. Okay. That's it, isn't it? The word comes and they get all excited and all fired up. And then all of a sudden, they're not there anymore. Because they had no root. They had no foundation. And when tribulation or a little bit of persecution comes, because of the word, immediately they will stumble. See, it's easy to hear the word that says, oh, you're so blessed and you're so wonderful and you're so awesome and you're so glorious, right? How many know that's pretty easy to receive that? More challenging when you receive a word that says, hey, you got to get right. Right? You got to get right. Oh, I didn't know you had to get right. Okay, I'm out of here. I don't want any tribulation. I don't want any suffering. I don't want any persecution. I don't want any of that. No, I don't want that. I just want to tell me how great I am. That's all I want to hear. Come on, I need my ears tickled. I want you to make me feel happy. And if you can't do that, I'm out of here. Well, in this life, you'll suffer persecution. You'll suffer tribulation. And if you're being one that will sit there and say you don't, you're a liar. Right? How many here have ever suffered some tribulation even after you got into this process and understand how great God is in you. Okay? In fact, sometimes that brings on more of it. But that's no cause for alarm, because it says the next verse, hey. Everybody said, hey.
Hey.
Ho.
Ho.
Hey.
Hey.
Ho.
Ho.
Hey. Hey ho to you too that are listening by live stream. Send your tithes and donations to 3406 Tarleton Lane, Austin, Texas, 78746. Hallelujah. Sorry for the commercial break. You've been watching that before. You know, they're right in the middle of the word. So now we'll be back in just a minute. My friends, today I have a special offer for you. I will send you the entire commentary of the Bible by Bill Hart. Only $9.95. I mean, that's $995. We take Visa, MasterCard, and American Express. Be sure to send your prayer request along with your donation, and we will pray for you consistently and every day without fail. Thank you, my brother. Now, back to the word. But he received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it. And we could do an amplified version here. Plants it, waters it, hides it in his heart. This is the one that will bear fruit. It's not the one that got all excited and it all went away. It's not the one that received it and let the cares of the world choke it out. It's not the one that let it come and it fell off by the side and the birds ate it up. This is the one that says, I want the word of God in me, in my heart. And I'm going to hide it nigh thee, even in my heart and even in my mouth it will come forth. That will bear fruit some hundredfold, 60-fold, and even the 30-fold. This are the ones that are the blessed of the Lord. He that have a heart, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord would say unto the church. Amen. Now, excuse me, a commercial break. Hi, dear friends. You've been listening to the word of the Lord today. It's up to you to make a response. It helps if you make it with an offering. It multiplies the power of prayer. Back to my congregation. Oh, welcome home. Welcome back. Okay. I can't help it. I'm hungry. I've worn myself out. And I'm always that goofy when I'm tired. Let's all stand up. Thanks for enduring through the commercials. I know you would like to have fast-forwarded through that, but I didn't give you that option. Hey, brother, good to have you. I didn't see you there. Wow. Are you glad you came from California to hear this? You could have watched it by live stream. And by the way, live stream people, we send out packets of envelopes, enough, 52 envelopes for each year. Okay. Hallelujah. I hope Bill Vanderbush is watching. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Didn't it feel good to have a right heart? Well, I mean, doesn't it just feel so clean inside when you just your heart's just right with God? And just God, just a fertile ground by where the Lord can come and plant his seed in you and birth in you. Be fruitful in you and multiply in you and show his love through you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Just everybody just say, Lord, I just give you my heart. It's all yours. Mold me, make me, shape me. You're the potter. I'm the clay. I'm a yielded vessel. I'm setting myself up for great blessings to receive from you an abundance of your grace, of your forgiveness, of your blessings, that out of me may flow life to a desperate world, that they may see the radiation and the glorified Christ in me. Amen.